Morning, everybody. Today's daf in Brachos is daf Chav Beis. Thanks, Stuart, very much for covering for me yesterday while I flew out to the Midwest just to see how things are in Wisconsin. And so I'm here to report that everything's fine. The Mishnah we started off with yesterday, Balkari, we're going to continue. Really, there are 2 days of the discussion of Balkari. That's yesterday and today, Chafaf and Chav Beis. And today, God willing, we'll conclude the whole discussion of a Balkari. So, what happened? Ezra made a takana. Ezra, of course, introduced the Jews back into the Second Temple era, built the Bayis Sheni, responsible for building the Bayis Sheni, together with leading a number of the Jews back to Eretz Yisrael, and in this new state of Jewish history. So Ezra made a takana, he made an enactment. The enactment of Ezra is that no one is allowed to learn Torah if they become a Balkari. The reason why he made such a takana is seems like from the Gemara later on, the Gemara pretty much says it, is that the Chachamim, Ezra did not want the Talmid Chachamim to be with their wives with any type of frequency, any type of regularity. Obviously, this is a little bit of a strain because it creates problems in terms of the mitzvah Puru Revu. And in fact, the Gemara later on will make that observation as well. But that was his intent in making the Takana. So therefore, he demanded that anyone who is a Balkari, and a man who's a Balkari, cannot learn Torah until he tovels in the mikvah. This is the Takana of Ezra. Including this Takana of learning Torah is also davening. He can't learn and he can't daven as well. Later this morning, we'll quote the Rambam. The Rambam is of the opinion that these are two separate takanas, but I'll get back to that later on. Okay, this is the takana of Ezra. So you go back to the Mishnah that we learned yesterday, and the Mishnah says that about Keri. So when it comes to Shema, so what does he do? So meharher belibo. So you remember yesterday, this is just a review from yesterday so that we can get into today. So he's meharher belibo, so he thinks about the Shema. He can't say the Shema, because saying the Shema would be a violation of the takana of Ezra. So he thinks about the Shema. So that means he opens up a siddur, and he just basically goes through the words, but without actually articulation of the words. And he doesn't make the bracha, lo lefanev, lo lacharah, don't make the brachas of Shema. There are two brachas before, one bracha in the morning after Shema. Don't say those brachas. Don't even think about those brachas. And when it comes to Berachas HaMazon, so you bench after you eat bread, but you don't make the bracha before you eat bread. Benching after you eat bread, that's the mitzvah d'oraisa, so that you're going to do. And again, when he says bench in the Mishnah, we mean think about benching. Don't say benching because you're a Balkari. But you think about benching afterwards, but beforehand, you don't even think about the bracha Rishonah. Okay, that is the Tanakama of the Mishnah. All based on the Takana of Ezra. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mevarech Lefanehem Ula'acharem. Now Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah says that you do make the brachas of Shema both before and after as well. Okay, so let's start in the Gemara on Chafaf Amid Beis. I know Stuart did some of this yesterday. Let's start right in the middle of Chafaf Amid Beis, starting with the words Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mevarech Lefanehem Ula'acharem. Now, Lemem. So the Gemara starts off with an observation, a simple observation. What justification do you have to say the brachos of Kriya Shema? Oh, so it must be that according to Rabbi Yehuda, so Balkari is allowed to learn Torah. What about Takana Zezra? So that's a fair question. So hold that question for a moment. What do you mean? We have drushas. A Balkari is not allowed to learn Torah. So in the pasuk it says that you have to relate to your children Mamar Har Sinai. Right? As we explained yesterday, well, we didn't explain yesterday, but As you learned yesterday, this is the source of Takana Sezra. Takana Sezra uses this as one of his sources. I'm sorry, Rashi explained that this is one of the sources of Ezra in terms of why he made such a takana. Because by Mamar Har Sinai, there had to have been abstinence. The Torah demanded that husband and wife separate from each other for 3 days prior to Mamar Har Sinai, so that a man would not be a Balkari, and a woman would not be a Polet to Shechva Zera. Good. So the pasuk says, V'odatum v'necha v'necha yom asher amarata. Ma'la halam v'alei keren asurin, avkam v'alei keren asurin. So just like by Mamar Har Sinai, so no one was allowed to be a Balkari, so too, any time there's any learning of Torah, no one is allowed to be a Balkari. So Balkari Nasturin, Afkan Balkari Nasturin. Bechitim, Rabbi Yehuda Ladar Smuchin. So this is a drasha. Now this drasha is based on Smichas Parshios, on the juxtaposition of one pasuk next to the other pasuk. And perhaps you would like to argue that Rabbi Yehuda is just simply not subscribe to Smichas Parshios. V'am Rav Yosef afilu mandalo Darish Smuchin b'chol Torah b'mishnah Torah Darish. That's not true, because this Smuchin is found in Parshas Ve'eschanan. And this is in Sefer Devarim. And even those people who are not subscribing to Smichos Parshios will do so when it comes to Sefer Dvarim. And the Gemara makes this case, the Rabbi Yehuda Darsh Shmuchin, because Bechol HaTorah Kula, we know that Rabbi Yehuda generally does not Darsh Shmuchin, Uve Mishnah Torah Darsh. But when it comes to Mishnah Torah Sefer Dvarim, he is Darsh. Uve Chol HaTorah Kula Menalan Delo Darsh Titanya, we learned in a Braisa. Benazai Omer, Nemar Machshef Alo Sechaya. We know that if you have a witch, any woman who practices sorcery, and for now, it's not just women for that matter, it's men as well. The Torah points to women in this regard because Rashi brings it down in Chumash. Women tend to practice sorcery more than men. You know how that works. V'nemar kol shochev in behema mos yumas. And the Torah says that, and the Torah also says, right juxtaposed next to it, that anyone who commits the act of bestiality is going to be put to death. Samchu inyan lo lomar ma shochev in behema beskila af machshef anam in beskila. Now, the Torah does not give us instruction how to kill the machshefa, meaning we know the machshefa is liable to a death penalty, but we don't know how. But juxtaposed next to it is the Isser of Mishkav Behema, where we know how that person is supposed to be put to death. That's through Skila. So based on this Michos Parshios, so therefore, we're going to apply the same method of execution for the Machshefa, where she's going to be put to death through Skila. So Amalei Rabbi Yehuda V'chim M'nei Samchu Inyan Lo, no, it's Skila. So Rabbi Yehuda says, what? We're deciding the method of execution based on Smichos Parshios? You don't do that. Ella, so he arrives at the same conclusion, but he just simply doesn't subscribe to Smichos Parshios. Ella ovi yadoni bechlal kol hamechashvim hayu. V'lama yatsu lahakish lahem, v'lama lacha ma ovi yadoni b'skila af machshefa b'skila. So he explains that we know ovi yadoni, which are forms of sorcery. Ovi yadoni, conjuring up the dead. Different methods of conjuring up the dead. One is through your mouth, the other one is through your armpit and the flapping of your armpit. You remember we discussed this in detail in Masechta Krisos, first parak of Masechta Krisos. So anyway, so we know that they're forms of sorcery. So anyone who practices Ovi Yedoni, either one of them, is subject to the death penalty based on the fact that that's sorcery. It's a form of magic. Ove Mishnah Torah Menalan Didarish Sari. I skipped an important point. And we know that they're forms of sorcery, and the Torah says that anyone who practices Ovi Yedoni is put to death through stoning, put to death through stoning. And Rashi points out this is one of the Yud Gimel Midos at Shatar Nidrashas Bahem. Right, remember right before Pesukah de Zimra, we go through the 13 of Rabbi Yishmael. One of them is the Davish Ayah Bechlal, the Yatsa Min HaKlal Lamed, Lo Lalamed Al Asmo Yatsa, El Lalamed Al HaKlal Kulo Yatsa. Ovi Yedoni is an example of sorcery. Why does the Torah take it out and say this person's put to death through stoning? Because now the Torah is telling us that any form of sorcery is put to death through stoning. Okay? So an example of this one, this Yud Gimel Midah of the Torah. Good. What you get from here is that Rabbi Yehuda, when it comes to Kol HaTorah Kula, meaning Bracious through Bamidbar, doesn't Darsh Smuchin. Uve Mishnah Torah Menalan the Darsh, but when it comes to Sefer Dvarim, so you are Darsh. The Tanya Rabbi Lazar Omer Nosi Adam Anusis Aviv Mufutas Aviv. Now we know that a man is not allowed to marry a woman once married to his father, or for that matter, a father is not allowed to marry a woman who was once married to a son. That's an erva. She becomes an erva, and even after they divorce, she still is an erva. Once an erva, always an erva. The exception, of course, being sisters. Right, the death of one sister can permit the marrying of the other sister, but outside of that, she is an erva. However, what about anusas aviv or mefutas aviv? What if dad didn't marry her, but just simply had intimacy with her? Okay, that's certainly inappropriate. But the question is, does she become an erva? And Rav Yehuda says, yes. No, say adam anusas aviv mefutas aviv anusas beno mefutas beno. Rav Yehuda omer. Sorry, Rav Yehuda oser banusas aviv mefutas aviv. And Rav Yossi says it is. I'm sorry, Rav Yehuda says it's oser. Now, I said it's an erva. May not qualify as an erva, as an actual arayos, but it's certainly aser. V'amr Rav Gidol Amar Rav Mai Tam Rav Yehuda Dichsiv Lo Yikach Ish Aseishes Aviv V'lo Yigale Knaf Aviv Knaf Shera Aviv Lo Yigale. A woman that cohabited with one man's father, he's not allowed to marry. Umi Mai Deba Anusas Aviv Tziv. Now, how do I know that that pasuk coming up in next week's parasha, how do I know that that's talking about anusas aviv, meaning not a woman that was married to your father, but a woman who just had relations with your father? Because right next to the parasha of the pasuk we just quoted is the parasha of rape. So you see that that was not a woman that was married to your father, just simply was cohabited with your father, and more graphically, was raped by your father. But still, the point is that you see that Rav Yehuda, how does he arrive at this conclusion? Through the method of smuchin. So, from Breishis through Bamidbar, Sefer Breishis through Sefer Bamidbar, Rav Yehuda doesn't subscribe to smuchin. But when it comes to Sefer Dvarim, he does subscribe to smuchin. Now, in general, before we go on to the Gemara, do we understand that? To a certain degree, yeah, sure we do. Because Sefer Dvarim is different than the rest of Chumash. Sefer Dvarim, the Vilna Gaon says this, Sefer Dvarim is more of a nevuah of Moshe than it is just simply Moshe actually writing down everything that was told to him by Kadosh Baruch Hu. So it's also a review of the entire Torah. So Sefer Dvarim goes out of its way to put things together which already happened, already transpired, but the fact that it's review means that if Moshe put together two different subject matters, so there's a reason why he put them together, and that's why Rabbi Yehuda would darish shmuchim by Dvarim as opposed to the rest of the Torah. So the Gemara, now all this leads us to the following.
Okay, so hold on.
Yeah.
So in the rest of the Torah, we do darish shmuchim.
Rabbi Yehuda does not. Meaning there are people who do. There are Tanaim who do, Rav Yehuda does not. Okay. But when you get to Sefer Dvarim, Rav Yehuda does Darish Smuchin. Even Rav Yehuda, the point of the Gemara is that even Rav Yehuda, who generally does not, but when it comes to Sefer Dvarim, he does. And all this leads us to...
What does that have to do with the fact that Dvarim is different?
Well, I'm just explaining. I'm giving some sort of explanation, not a great one, in terms of why it is that Rav Yehuda would treat Sefer Dvarim differently than the rest of Kol HaTorah Kula.
Because it's
and as a suggestion, I suggested because it's a review of the Torah, it's the things we knew already, not all of it. There are new ideas in Sefer Dvarim, but the fact that Moshe then strung together various topics means that there's a reason why he strung it together.
Since it's a review, it makes it more apparent that, well, we already know that, so you must be telling us something
correct.
By the fact that...
Absolutely correct. Now, the question is the following. Rav Yehuda allows a Balkari to learn Torah. Now the Gemara wants to know, how does that come to be? Because we learn out that Ezra was Mesakein, and he learned it out based on Smuchin. Where? In Sefer Dvarim. Where Rabbi Yehuda, who normally is reluctant to Darish Smuchin, but when it comes to Sefer Dvarim, he does Darish Smuchin. So that's the Gemara's question. Amre in. So the Gemara says, acknowledged, you're right. Rabbi Yehuda does Darish Smuchin and Sefer Dvarim. It happens to be that this particular set of Pesukim, the Pesuk of Ahodat Mlevanecha, followed by the Pesuk of Yom Asher Amarta Bahar Sinai, so he darshens that, but for a different point. The Amr of Yeshua Ben Levi called Malamed Lev No Torah, Ma'ala Alav Kosov Ki'ilu Kabla Mehar Chorev. Anyone who teaches his son Torah, it's as if the son received the Torah from Har Chorei, from Har Sinai. Shenamar, v'odatum levenech v'levnei venech uksiv basrei, yom asher amart lefnei Hashem lokecha b'chorev. Now, a couple things over here. Number one, that's not really a halacha, meaning that's what we would call that more like drush, meaning that it's so significant to teach your son Torah that it becomes as if he accepted the Torah from Har Sinai. That's not a halachic drasha, that's more of a drush drasha. So I'm not really sure why that would necessarily negate the previous drasha. And the other point, which really just confuses me, but I'm just going to raise it, is that this drasha was provided to us by Rav Yehoshua ben Levi. The previous drasha was related to us by Rav Yehoshua ben Levi. So in other words, and the Gemara's answer to the question is, well, Rabbi Yehuda subscribes to the latter drasha, but not to the former drasha. But both of those drashas were given to us by Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, meaning he subscribed to both, but Rabbi Yehuda didn't? Okay, so things that confuse me, I'm not really clear about, but I'm just raising them. Tanan. The Gemara quotes a Mishnah. Now, this Mishnah's basic point is going to be the following. All right, so it's now established that if you're a Baal Keri, you cannot learn Torah. Now again, Rabbi Yehuda may disagree with that, but let's just right now assume that that's the basic halacha as presented us in the Mishnah yesterday. Okay, what if you are already tamei? So in other words, when you tov on the mikvah, you come out from the mikvah, it's really not going to help you because you're already tamei. So for example, let's say you're a man who's a zav. right? And a Zav who already had two Re'iyas, which means, as we learned back in Masechta Nida, it means that he has to count Shiv and Nikiyim. He won't be Tameh, he won't be Tahor for another 7 days. He has to count Shiv and Nikiyim, and then afterwards, on the seventh day, he'll tov on the mikvah. Fine. After now being a Zav in the middle of his Ziva, he now is a Balkari. So does he tov on the mikvah? Meaning, it's not really going to help him. He's going to come up from the mikvah, and he's still going to be Tameh. So the Mishnah teaches us, Zav Shara Kari, V'nidu Shepalta Shechva Zera, Hamishameshes V'ras Adam, or there's the other Gersa has it, Nida, Tzrichin Tvila. So, the Tanakhama of the Mishnah says, they all need to tov on the mikvah. Now what does that mean, they need to tov on the mikvah? Meaning when they come up from the mikvah, are they going to be Tahor? No. It means that you still have to satisfy Takanas Ezra. Ezra demanded that you cannot learn Torah until you tovel in the mikvah. So for these people, even though vis-a-vis their own status of tumah, it's not going to change them. They're going to go in the mikvah, they're going to come up, they're still going to be tameh. They're in the middle of being a zav. Still, they have to tovel in the mikvah so that they learn Torah. They still have to satisfy the takana of Ezra. Rav Yehuda poter. And Rav Yehuda says that in this case, you're poter. Nah, you don't need to. Because what's it going to do anyway? You're going to come up from the mikvah and you're still going to be tamei. Now, the Gemara learns this Mishnah. And the Gemara reads the Mishnah very carefully. Ad kan lo pater Rav Yehuda lebezav shara keri demi kara la bar tefilahu aval bekeri greida mechayev. So the Gemara says, look, the only reason why Rav Yehuda exempts you from toveling in the mikvah is because you already were a Zav. But had it not been for that consideration, it sounds like that according to Rav Yehuda, you have to tovel in the mikvah. Meaning it sounds like Rav Yehuda does in fact subscribe to the general takana of Ezra. V'chitem hu adin dafi l'bal kari greit anami pater, Rav Yehuda, v'hai dekam yiflegi b'zav shara kari lo dicha kocha d'rabanan. Maybe would like to suggest that Rav Yehuda in general does not require tevil at all. And the only point that this Mishnah over here is making is vis-a-vis the Chachamim. That the Chachamim demand you to tovel in the mikvah. Even in a scenario where you already were Tameh, where toveling in the mikvah will not help you at all, but the Chachamim demand you to tovel in the mikvah. And the whole purpose of the Mishnah is not to tell us anything vis-a-vis Rav Yehuda, but rather to teach us something vis-a-vis the Chachamim. Aim a seifa, but the Gemara says, but then go on in the Mishnah. Ha-mishamesh es verasa dam or nida tzricha tefila. Laman, kitani la. Here we're talking about somebody who has tashmish, which means that he needs to tov on the mikvah, she needs to tov on the mikvah, and afterwards she becomes a nida. So what's the sequence of events over here? First, balkari, then they become tameh. So the Braisa says, that person needs to tov on the mikvah before they learn Torah. Now, laman kitani la. Now, who is this Braisa addressing, or this Mishnah? Whose position is it addressing? Look, from the Chachamim standpoint, it's such a no-brainer. If you're first Tameh and then you become a Balkari, the Chachamim say you need to tov on the mikvah. So if you're a Balkari, follow them by being Tameh, you for sure need to tov on the mikvah. So I love Rav Yehuda. So it must be that this second part of the Mishnah is addressing the position of Rav Yehuda. Vidafka Kitani La. And it must be that for Rav Yehuda, it's specifically in this order. Mishameshes Verasanida in Itzricha Tvila. Ava Balkari Greida Mechayev. Meaning, why does Rav Yehuda exempt you from toveling in the mikvah? Because look, you're Tameh anyway. Toveling in the mikvah won't help. But had it been that you're just a Balkari, and Tvila will be Matari you, according to Rav Yehuda, you have to tovel in the mikvah if you want to learn Torah. So the Gemara says, Lo Tema. Okay, so all this now brings us back to our basic problem. Meaning, we're now at the point where we thought for a little bit in the Gemara that Rav Yehuda doesn't subscribe to the Takana of Ezra, but that seems to be, based on the Mishnah we just learned, that's not true. Even Rav Yehuda subscribes to the Takana of Ezra. If you want to learn Torah and you're a Balkari, you have to tov on the mikvah, even according to Rav Yehuda. Which only begs the following question. How do you learn our Mishnah and Brachos? The Mishnah that starts on the bottom of Chaf Amud Beis, that says that according to Rav Yehuda, you say Shema, and you make the brachas before and after Shema, well, what are you doing making the brachas? You're learning Torah. You're not allowed to learn Torah. So the Gemara says, Umi Islay, sorry, Ava Balkari, Greater Mechayim, Lo Tema Mivarech Ela Maharher. So to which the Gemara says, okay, here's what we're going to do. The way we're going to understand Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah is, you're not going to say the brachas of Shema. You're going to think the brachos are Shema. Meaning, Rabbi Yehuda's position is not radically different than the Tanakhama. The Tanakhama of our Mishnah says that if a person's a Baal Keri, so he can't learn Torah. And even though he has a mitzvah of Shema, he can't say the Shema as well. So according to the Tanakhama, what does he do? He thinks about Shema. He's Mahara. Right? And the discussion yesterday, what status does hearer have? Is it like he's speaking? Is it not like he's speaking? But fine. In other words, he's Mahara. And Rabbi Yehuda, not radically different. Rabbi Yehuda says, you think Shema, and you think about the brachas as well. You don't say the brachas, you're a Baal Keri. But you think about the brachas. Well, me is the Rabbi Yehuda, hearer of Atanya Baal Keri, Shein Lom Mayim, Litbol, Kari Kriya Shema, Ve'enom Avarach Lefanev, Alalah Achareha, Ve'och Hapitum Avarach Lacharah, Ve'enom Avarach Lefaneha, Aval Maharer Belibo, Ve'enom Motse Bisfas of Divrei Rabbi Meir. Okay, this Bryce over here talks about the Baal Keri who does not have water. So he is a waterless Baal Keri. So what do you do? So according to Rabbi Meir, you read Shema and you say and you bench after you eat. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer, good, that's the opinion of Rabbi Meir. But we want to focus on Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ben Kach Uben Kach, Motzi Bisfasav. Rabbi Yehuda says, if you're a Baal Keri and you don't have water, say it. Say Shema. And you say benching. Meaning Rabbi Yehuda is not a believer in Hirhor. Meaning, he subscribes to Takanas Ezra, he just simply does not subscribe to this idea that you should think about it. If you don't have water and you ain't brayer and you have no choice, you'll say Shema and you'll say benching. So, Amar Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, Asan Rav Yehuda, Kehilchos Derech Eretz. Well, the Gemara says like this. It could be that once you're in a position where you're a Baal Keri and you don't have water, so it could be now that you're given a special dispensation that you get to say Shema and you get to say benching. Generally, Rabbi Yehuda would not want you to do that, meaning that if you're in a position where you have water and you could tovel on the mikvah, generally what Rabbi Yehuda would want you to do is tovel, and if you don't, you can't say Shema, and the only thing you can do is just think about Shema. But in this scenario where you don't have water, so a special dispensation is given out. And as we'll learn later on, in just a moment, Rabbi Yehuda allows the Baal Keri to learn about Derech Eretz, how to conduct oneself properly. D'tanya, the Gemara says here, here's the Braisa. V'hodatum levanecha ulevnei vanecha uksiv basrei yom asher amata lefnei Hashem alkecha b'chorev ma'alahalam be'ema v'yira v'resus uvezeya afkan be'ema uvayira uvresus uvezeya. Look, here we start off with the drasha of how do we know that a Baal Keri cannot learn Torah? Look, at Maimon Har Sinai, we accepted the Torah. We were shaking in our shoes. We were scared, we were fearful, we were shuddering, we were perspiring, meaning it was such awe and reverence at Mamad Har Sinai that we were shaking. Every time you're learning Torah, every time we learn Torah, we want to recreate that kind of environment where there is no frivolity, there's no silliness, meaning it's a serious, awe-striking moment. Which really doesn't describe my shear. So that's a bit of an issue. But in other words, that's the kind of environment that you want. Mikana amru. So yeah, it's a kind of environment you want. So they say over by the Rav Shear that it was frightening. It was absolutely frightening. I'm too young, so I don't have personal experiences. But all my rebbeim were students of the Rav, and they said it was just frightening to go in there and be in a shear. And he successfully recreated that kind of environment. So if you're a Baal Keri, so in other words, how did you become a Baal Keri? Because you didn't conduct yourself in that kind of environment. You were being frivolous. You were being silly. So you cannot learn under those circumstances, and you can't learn until you tovel on the mikvah. Mikan amroz avim v'amitzarayim ovan al nidus mutam lekors petarav v'nivim v'ksuvim and l'shanos b'mishnah v'gmar v'helchus v'agados. So if you're tamei for any other reason, you're a zav, you're a mitzora, right? Balanida. In other words, if you're tummy for any other reason, so you can learn, because you becoming tummy was not due to a state of silliness, a state of frivolity. Ava balkarin asurin. But if you're a balkari, so then you cannot, because you weren't the ema uviyira. You weren't in the state of fear and awe. Rabbi Yosi Omer, Shonuhu Berigils. Now, good. So that's our starting point. Our starting point is the drasha of why a Baal Keri can't learn is because he didn't commit himself to being in that recreated Mamad Har Sinai state of being in awe and in trepidation. Fine. And now basically what we're going to see is a series of Tanaim, this is all one long brisa, a series of Tanaim who basically say, look, in general you can't learn, but we'll certain leniency, certain coolas which will allow you to do. So for example, Rabbi Yosi Omer Shonahu Berigilus Uvavashalo Yetzias HaMishnah. If there are Mishnahs that you're really familiar with, that you know really well, that just kind of run right off your tongue, so as a Baal Keri you could say over these Mishnahs, but don't explain this Mishnahs. Meaning, so there is light learning that you can do, if there's such a thing. So, right. Rabbi Yonasan ben Yosef, Omer Matziah, who has a Mishnah, Veinu Matziah, Se Gemara. So, Rabbi Yonasan ben Yosef says, you can even explain Mishnayos, but don't delve any deeper than that. Don't learn Gemara. Rabbi Nasan bar Avshalom, Omer Af Matziah, Se Gemara, Vavashalo, Yomer Azkara Shabo. You can learn Gemara according to the third Tana, but you can't say Hashem's name. Rav Yochanan Asan lo Talmidosh Rabbi Akiva Mishum Rabbi Akiva Omer lo Yichanes leMedrash Kol Iker. Don't be involved in any type of drush, any type of drusha. Drusha over here, Sifra, Sifrei, right? All the drushos of halacha. Rashi says the reason why is because if you're going to start darshaning, you're going to have to end up saying the psukim you're going to say Shem Hashem. So don't darshan at all. The Amr lo Yichanes leBeis haMedrash Kol Iker. Or some say that what Rabbi Akiva was quoted as saying is that when you're a Baal Keri, don't walk into the Beis Medrash at all. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shonuhu Behilchos Derech Eretz. And finally, the end of this braisa, so we see the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda allows a Baal Keri. Can't learn Mishnah, can't learn Gemara, but what you can learn is the laws of Derech Eretz. Right? It didn't make it into the Daf Yomi cycle, so we don't learn this as a Masechta, but there is Masechta Derech Eretz. Meaning there's a Masechta that talks about proper conduct. The Rambam in Hilchos Deos goes over many of the halachas of how one should properly conduct himself. Just Derech Eretz, just the way that one should comport himself and behave. Maisa, just one second. Maisa b'Rabbi Yehuda Shara Keri v'haya malach agav anar. So there was a story once with Rabbi Yehuda who was rowing Keri and he was going by the bank of a river. Amar lo tamid of Rabbeinu, shanu l'perek echa b'yocha Derech Eretz. Now the students knew. Okay, somewhat awkward, but they knew that the Rebbe was a Baal Keri, and they wanted to learn with the Rebbe, but obviously he couldn't teach them because he was a Baal Keri. So they said, could you teach us some of Hilchos Derech Eretz, which Rabbi Yehuda does allow, that he allows, and Yared V'tovah V'shan Olam. So what does he do? So he runs to the mikveh, he tovels in the mikveh, and he comes up from the mikveh to teach him. So Amr lo, lo kachla, maratena rabbeinu, shonuhu behilchos derech eretz, I don't understand. We specifically asked you to teach us derech eretz, because we knew you were a Baal Keri, and we didn't want you to bother to tovel in the mikveh. And so why did you just tovel in the mikveh? Amr lo, afa pisha, ishe mekel ani al acherem, machmir ani al atzmi. Yeah, for other people, I'll be stringent, but for myself, I will be... Sorry, other way around. Thank you. For other people, I'll be makel, but for me, I'll be stringent. So yeah. And so basically now, let's go back to where the Gemara... Why did the Gemara bring all this in? Because the question was, we saw earlier the halacha, what if a Baal Keri doesn't have water? And so Rabbi Yehuda says, okay, if he doesn't have water, so let him say Shema. And let him bench after he eats. And we ask the obvious question, what do you mean? He's a Baal Keri. So to that, now we really understand the Gemara's answer. The Gemara says, when a Baal Keri doesn't have water, he just simply does not have water, so Rav Yehuda will extend this kula. Rav Yehuda allows the Baal Keri to learn Hilchos Derech Eretz, so for the Baal Keri who doesn't have water, he'll be now extended this courtesy of, it's like he's learning Hilchos Derech Eretz, in that now he can say Shema and bench afterwards, even without having trouble in the mikvah. Okay, yes, questions?
Frivolity could also lead to the Mitzorah. Is that the same?
I know, it's funny. It could also lead to Baal Nida, right? Baal Nida. But the assumption is that, no. In other words, for these types of Tumah, you're right. To become a Mitzorah probably means that he wasn't behaving.
He learns Torah.
But still, the only thing that really negates this sense of Eman Yira is being a Baal Keri. Tanya. Rav Yehuda ben Maseira Yomer in Divrei Torah Mekabim Tuma. So now we finally get the other side of the whole discussion. Meaning, To us, all this sounds a little bit strange because we don't demand people to tovel the mikvah before we learn Torah, right? We don't seem to subscribe to Takanas Ezra. Seems that way. Why? So the Gemara now introduces us first to the position of Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, and then later on the Gemara says, basically, we rely on this opinion of Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra. He's of the opinion, ein divrei Torah mekablam tuma. Torah is not mekabel tuma. It's a great way to say it. It's an interesting way to say it. But basically what he's saying is, you're a Baal Keri, so what? You go ahead, you learn Torah. And it's the two do not negate one another. What does he do with the drasha that we had earlier? Vahodakum levanecha levnei vanecha. So maybe you could say that he learned it like the drasha of Rav Yeshua ben Levi. That has to do with the how important it is for a father to teach his son Torah, but not necessarily anything to do with a Baal Keri. Ma'isa b'tamidecha shayya megamgem lamala mi Rav Yehuda ben Becerra. The Gemara tells a story of a student who was being megamgem, meaning he was a Baal Keri. And he was learning Torah, but he just felt so uncomfortable. How can I learn Torah? I'm a Baal Keri. And he was stuttering with the words. Amar alei b'ni p'sach picha v'ya'iru dvarecha she'in divrei Torah mekablam tuma. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra says, speak up. Speak up, young man. It's okay. I say it's okay. She'nem ala ko dvarei ke'eshna m'ashem. He quotes the pasuk in Yirmiyahu. My words are like fire. Ma'eshin mekabal tuma af divrei Torah mekablam tuma. Fire is not mekabal tuma. The words of Torah not mekabal tuma. Amar mar matzia samishna veina matzia. I'm sorry. Before I speed read ahead. Okay, good. So that's now the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra. So essentially, he's of the opinion that a Baal Keri does not need to tovel in the mikvah. Okay. Amar mar matzia samishna veina matzia segamar misayla le Rabbi Eli. Now, earlier we talked about certain leniencies for the Baal Keri. Meaning, for those who do subscribe to Takanas Ezra, there are certain kulas or certain leniencies. Notably, we quoted earlier that you can explain the Mishnah, but you can't go any further than that. The Amar Rabbi Eli, Amar Rav Acha, Bar Yaakov, Mishum Rabbeinu Halacha, Amar Rabbeinu over here means Rav. That's how Rashi explains it. Rashi always says that. Whenever the Gemara says, simply says Rabbeinu, it's reference to Rav. Halacha, Matzias HaMishnah, Mishnah, Matzias HaGemara. So, okay, so Rav says the same thing, that when you're a Baal Keri, so you can do quote unquote light learning, say over a Mishnah, simple Pshat in the Mishnah, but that's it. You can't go beyond that. Kitanai Matzias HaMishnah Vinu Matzias HaGemar Dev Rabbi Meir Rabbi Yehuda Ben Gamliel Omer Mishum Rabbi Chanina Ben Gamliel Zeh V'zeh Aser V'Amrila Zeh V'zeh Mutter. Okay, so we have in the name of Rabbi Yehuda Ben Gamliel two opinions. Either you can do both or you can do neither. So Man Damer Zeh V'zeh Aser Rabbi Yochanan Hasanla. Now, the one who says you can do neither, that's like the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan Hasanla that we learned earlier on this Amud, where he's of the opinion nothing. Right, lo yikanes lemidrash kol ikar. The one who says man damer zev is emotik Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, and the version that says that you can do both, you can learn Mishnah, you can learn Gemara, because he subscribes to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, ein divrei Torah mekablam tuma. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak noeg amakani klas sabe. So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says the world is noeg like three elder statesmen, meaning that we have three kulas amongst three tanaim. And we subscribe to these three kulas. Number one, Karebi Eli, Reishis Hagez. First of all, the halacha of Reishis Hagez. Remember back in Chulin, an entire parak of Chulin was dedicated to the topic of the first shearings of your sheep need to be given to a kohen. Karebi Yoshua B'Kalayim. The halacha falls like Rabbi Yeshua vis-a-vis Kalayim. We'll get to that in just a moment. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, but divrei Torah. So we're going to go now through all three. Karebi Eli, Reishis Hagez, the time Rabbi Eli, Omer, Reishis Hagez, Anonog, Ela Ba'aretz. Rabbi Eli is of the opinion that Reishis Hagez, the mitzvah, only applies in Eretz Yisrael. Now, even though it's not an agricultural halacha, it has to do with your sheep, not with your land. Nevertheless, he's of the opinion that it applies only in Eretz Yisrael. So if you have sheep outside of Eretz Yisrael, you don't have to give the first shearings to a kohen. Good. So we subscribe to this viewpoint of Rabbi Eli. It's controversial. There are those who argue with Rabbi Eli, but we subscribe to his opinion. Two, Rabbi Yehoshua b'klaim dechsev lo sizrach hamecha kalayim. Rabbi Yehoshua omer, la'olam einu chayev ad sheyizareh chita sor v'chatzam b'mapolos yad. In order to violate the isra of kalayim, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you have to plant wheat, barley, and grape seed, all three of them simultaneously, in order to violate. You do anything short of that, you do not violate the isra of kalayim. Two out of three is not enough to violate the isra of kalayim. And we are makel like that. And finally, the third kula that we subscribe to is Rabbi Yehuda ben Bezerra. B'divrei Torah, D'tanya Rabbi Yehuda ben Bezerra, Omer, Ein divrei Torah mekablam tuma. Fine. We subscribe to this viewpoint of Rabbi Yehuda ben Bezerra, and that's why we don't tovel in the mikvah, even when we are balkari. Now, Zairi comes from Eretz Yisrael, and he essentially says the same thing. I mean, we stopped it. We disallowed, or not disallowed, but we ceased the takana of Ezra. Now, there are two versions of how this was said. Either we stopped tvila or we stopped netila. Now, mandamar bitlula tvila sakar Rabbi Yehuda ben Bezerra. Now, if the version is we stopped tvila, that means we now subscribe to the viewpoint of Rabbi Yehuda ben Bezerra, who was mevata the takana of Ezra. And mandamar bitlula netila saki hadra of chista laita mandamah hadamai bi'idan tzlusa. Remember, we learned about a week ago, and back on Tazvav, we have to wash our hands before we daven. Right? It's an inyan to wash your hands. It's a mitzvah to wash your hands before we daven. What if you can't find water and now you're missing sof zman tefillah, sof zman kriya shema? So to that, our Gemara says, not appropriate. The Gemara previously said not appropriate, and the Gemara here reiterates, in the name of Rav Chista cursed the person who's looking for water while he's missing the time of davening. Okay. So that's an excellent question. I'm just going to articulate the question and just reiterate the question. I don't have a good answer. But essentially, Ezra made a takana. Now, we know the general rule is that once a Beis Din makes a takana, how can it be overturned? So you need a Beis Din that's gadol mimenu b'chachma v'minyan. You need a greater Beis Din. So Hedy's asking, I'll repeat the question. I don't have an answer for it, but I'm simply going to repeat the question. By what right did Rabbi Yehuda ben Bezerra have to repeal the takana of Ezra? So it's a fantastic question. And obviously, he did. But in other words, you want to assume that he had a greater Beis Din than Ezra? Hard to imagine.
One answer I heard was that within Takana Ezra, there was a time-bound limit to it, meaning that he foresaw that maybe future generations might be able to hold by that.
Right, correct. So in other words, he built in the release.
Self-limited Takana Ezra.
Okay, could be. Could very well be. Perhaps when Ezra made the Takana, what he did is he built in a release for the takana. Okay, could be. Okay. Tanu Rabbanan. Balkeri shenasnu alav tishakav b'mayim tahor. Now, here we're going to be introduced to a very interesting idea, the idea of tishakavim, right? We have not uttered a word about tishakavim yet, and now we're going to speak about tishakavim. Now, tishakavim, the idea of tishakavim is as follows. Well, how many gallons is it? I really should know the answer to this. What do we say? It's like 9 gallons?
Yeah.
Okay. There is another form, another method to allow the Baal Keri to learn Torah, and that is by throwing Tisha Kavan on himself. I would say it's like taking a shower. It's not a great analogy. It's because a shower, the water goes through a pipe, it's not really collected. Okay, it's not a terrible analogy, it's not great. But in other words, if you throw 9 gallons of water on yourself, not tovel in the mikvah, toveling in the mikvah, that requires a lot, meaning you need a kasher mikvah, you need 40 sa'ah. Okay, that's a lot. So there's another method of tahara, of purification, but just everybody here understands, though, that this works really under no other circumstance. Meaning nowhere else in the world of tumah do we find that a person's tameh, just throw some water on yourself and that's fine. It doesn't work. But keep in mind, though, that this tahara, quote-unquote, is not really tahara, meaning this is to satisfy the takana of Ezra. And as we're going to learn, part of the takana of Ezra is that if you don't have a mikvah, so tisha kabin would work out. Right, those are involved in the Chevra Kedisha, so you know that nowadays for the tahara sames, meaning tahara sames, same basic idea, it's not a real tahara, meaning he's a mace. And he will continue to be a mace. And toveling in the mikvah is not really going to change that. So what many have, the minhag of many of the Chevra Kedisha is Tisha Kabin, that they want to introduce some form of purification to the mace. So what they do is, instead of toveling the mace in the mikvah, which is very difficult, just logistically very hard, so what they'll do is this idea of Tisha Kabin, they'll throw 9 gallons of water over the mace and provide some form of tahara for the mace, some elevated tahara.
Is that what they do here?
Depends.
Yeah. Do they use the men's mikvah or the women's mikvah?
No, neither you'll be happy to know. Tana Rabbanan Baal Keri Shenasnu Alav Tisha Kabin Mayim Tahor. So the Gemara tells us that about Kerry, where nine Kabbalists are throwing him as Tar. Nach Mishkamzula, Lachshala Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva, Lachshala Ben Azai, or Ben Azai, Yatsa Vishanal Tamid of Ashok. So everybody's whispering this information one to the other. Nachishim Ishgamzu is whispering it to his Talmud Rabbi Kiva, and Rabbi Kiva is whispering it to Ben Az. They're all whispering it to one another. Now, pligi batrei amarai b'marav Rabbi Yosi bar Avin Rabbi Yosi bar Zvida chatani shana v'chatani lachsha. Now, how is this information actually transmitted, through whispering or through actual learning? So the machlokus, meaning there's going to be a disagreement in terms of how this information was broadcasted. Mandin nishana mishan bitul Torah mishan bitul Piri Rivia. Now, why is it? Okay, let's go. Let's start this way. Why would you want to broadcast this information not by whispering, but by announcing that you can use Tisha Kabim? You don't have to tovel in the mikvah. So the Gemara says, I'll give you two good reasons why. Number one, think about what Takanas Ezra does. It prevents somebody from learning until he tovels in the mikvah. So if there is a method in which we can easily obviate this, let's do it. Because it promotes learning. And the same thing with Peru Revu. Meaning that the husband is now going to be reluctant. You know, I don't want to be with my wife because I can't, I'm going to then have to tovel in the mikvah. You know what? Fine. And so it'll be Mevata Peru Revu. So if you can come up with a method that'll be easier for the Baal Keri, i.e. Tisha Kabin. So don't whisper it, announce it. And then the people who whisper it, they whisper it because, and I'm assuming, and I may even be right, you never know, that this was the general feeling of why Ezra made the Takana to begin with. Because he didn't want Talmidei Chachamim to be with his with their wives with frequency. And so therefore, if you're going to give a heter in terms of an easy way to resolve the Baal Keri issue, so then the husbands are going to be with their wives with more frequency, and that's exactly what Ezra did not want. And so therefore, this is a heter, Tisha Kabim is a heter, but don't broadcast it. Whisper it one to the next. I'm Rav Yana Shamat Shem Akilim Ba Veshamat Shem Achmirim Ba V'chol Amachmirim Ba Latzma Marichim Lo Yamavush Nosav. Now Rav Yana says, I heard various people were Machmir, I heard various people were Mako, and anyone who's Machmir will receive a bracha of length of days. I'm Rav Yishua Malevi Mativan Shel Tovle Shachrin. What good is it for those people who tovel in the morning? The Gemara immediately reacts and recoils. Mativan Torah. And it's funny that Rav Yeshua ben Levi is asking the question, isn't he the one who started off our morning with the drasha? So, you don't need 40 sa'a. You don't need a bona fide mikvah. Tisha Kabin would be sufficient. And you don't need to jump into a body of water. Just throw the Tisha Kabin on, you take a shower, and that'll be enough. Amar Rabbi Chanina Gedergado Gajuba Detanya Ma'isa Becha Shetava Isha L'Dvar Avera. So the Gemara says, look at a kind of, it's almost like a fringe benefit of this takana. A man was tovea a woman L'Dvar Avera, a woman that he was not permitted to be with. So Amar Lo, so she says to him, Reka, you empty individual. Yeshachar Baim Sasha Ta Tova Behen. So do you have a mikvah? You have 40 sa'a? Meaning, after we have our illicit relationship, you then have a mikvah to go to. So miyad piresh. So what does he do? Oh, you're right. So he was poresh. Amalu ravun la rabban rabosa mimne ma'ata mezalzam betfilazu. So why are you mezalzal? Meaning, he notes that it seems to be that no one's toveling in the mikvah. So he wonders why not. Imishem sinef shabem mechartzos. Now, what's wrong? It's too cold. The water is too cold. So go to a bathhouse and tovel in the bathhouse. Now the Gemara says, what? Tovel in the bathhouse? You're not allowed to do that. In other words, you need a bona fide mikvah. You need a natural pool of collected water. You can't have a bathhouse. So Rav Adar Bar Hava absolutely agrees with you. Rav Zera Hava Yosef Ba'agna Demaya Be'Mesusa. So Rabbi Zera was sitting in the bathtub. So Amar Leila Shami Zil Vaisel Tishakab and Vishadi Lave. And he says to his attendant, you know what? Throw water on top of me. So the Gemara says, Amar Leila Rabbi Chia Bar Abba Lama Leila Mar Kule Hai. What are you doing? You're sitting in the bathtub right now. And now you want water thrown on top of you? Vayasabi Gavayu Amar Leila Ke'arba'im sa'amar ba'im sa'a b'tfilah v'lo b'nesina, avti shakab b'nesina v'lo b'tfilah. So he says, no, absolutely. Because a tvila in a mikvah and tisha kaben are really exclusive from one another. Mikvah, you need to go into the mikvah. Tisha kaben, you need to throw the tisha kaben on you. So you see, I'm sitting in a bathhouse right now. It's not a mikvah. It's a bathtub. So I'm sitting in the bathtub right now. So it's not working midin tvila. So the only thing that it could do is work through tisha kaben. But tisha kaben doesn't work when I go into tisha kaben. I need it thrown on top of me. Rav Nachman tiken chatzba bas tisha kaben. Okay, Rav Nachman established a jar, a jug that had nine kaben. So everybody now knew that here's the volume of tisha kaben. You just use Rav Nachman's jar, his jug. So kiyaz Rav Dima Amar Rabbi Kiva Rav Yehuda Glustra Amrulo Shanu Ela Lechola Laonsel Valechola Hamargil Arba'im Sa'a. So now we're going to get somewhat of a better sense of when Tisha Kaben was assigned for who. So the Gemara says, look, if you're sick and you're a Baal Keri and it comes out and you really was ones, meaning you weren't behaving inappropriately, you weren't being frivolous, you were sick and it came out simply on its own, so then you're allowed the special kul of Tisha Kaben. But if you behaved in a way that where it not involuntarily but voluntarily comes out because of your behavior, so then you don't get this benefit of Tisha Kaben. You have to tovel in a mikvah. So in other words, basically, I don't understand Rav Nachman's jug. It's only for the people who are sick and it comes out involuntarily. I'm Rav Yosef Itbar Chatzmeh, Rav Nachman. Rav Yosef said, let's break Rav Nachman's jar. Ki alza Rav and Amar Be'usha Hava Uvda Bekila de Rav Oshia. Also, Vishal the Rav Asi Amlu Lo Shana Lechol Amargo Aval Lechol LaOnsa Potami Klum. The Gemara goes even one step further, quoting in the name of Rav Asi, and Rav Asi says that this Tisha Kaben is only for somebody who's sick, but and he's sick and he still behaved in a way where it didn't come out involuntarily, but it came out. But for somebody who's sick and it's an ones, you don't need anything. You don't need a mikvah. You don't need tisha kaben. You simply need nothing. Amar Rav Yosef, it's tamid chatzve de Rav Nachman. Bring Rav Nachman's jar back. Bring his jug back. Meaning, based on this position, Rav Asi, so a lot of people now can make use of the jar of Rav Nachman, because tisha kaben is okay to be used, even for somebody who's margil. Michti kulam aray v'tanai b'de Ezra kamiflagei. V'nechzei Ezra hecha tikein. So the Gemara says, look, we're now going through a number of opinions about what is Takanas Ezra. Now, we can't ask Ezra, meaning the Amoraim understand that they are 500 years removed more from Ezra. But let's just simply go back and let's just simply figure out what was Takanas Ezra. Now, Tosfos here points out, right, what are we doing here? We're just simply, the Gemara is just simply saying, well, let's find out. Even though it's 5 centuries plus earlier than these Amoraim. So Tosfos points out that even though by other Takanas we don't simply, the Gemara never simply says, well, let's find out. But here, this is something that occurs daily. Right, davar arag b'chol yomhu al kain anu zechorim, meaning this happens with such frequency that if people need to tovel themselves to learn Torah, we simply can just find out what was Takanas Ezra. Amar Abaye. So here we go. Ezra tikein labari hamargo memsa ubari laonso tishakavim. Here was the original Takana of Ezra. Ezra had for a healthy man who behaved frivolously. So for him, he needs to tovel in a mikvah 40 sa before he learns Torah. For a healthy man, who where the keri comes out on its own, la'on so, not because of his behavior. So then tisha kaben. Okay, that is Takanas Ezra. Asu amarai upligi b'chola. Now what the Amoraim are doing now is they're arguing about what was Ezra's Takana vis-a-vis chola. Meaning, what if he's sick? So Marsa v'chol amargel kabari amargel v'chol laonso kabari laonso u'marsa v'chol amargel kabari laonso v'chol laonso patami klom. Is a chol the same as a bari? That's one opinion. So that means that if it's margil, where he behaved in a way that brought about the balkari shetov on the mikvah, and if he's an one, so he could use tishakabin, or the other opinion is, no, drop it down a level. Once you're a chola, so then you can afford to go down a level, where if you're margil, tishakabin, and if it's one, you don't need anything. Amar Rav Nehida tikin Ezra tefila nesina mitikin. The Gemara says, look, I know Ezra was misakin, toveling in the mikvah. But also Tisha Kabin, the Amar Mar Ezra Tikin Tvila Baal Keren. Don't we have as a tradition that Ezra was Misakein Tvila? Meaning, and we're looking at the word specifically. I told you, the end of Baba Kama is where you're going to find all the Takanas of Ezra. Right? Yehoshua comes up with a number of Takanas when he goes into Eretz Yisrael. Ezra was Misakein a number of Takanas when he goes into Eretz Yisrael. All that's to be found in Baba Kama, the end of Baba Kama. So the Gemara over here quotes, Ezra was Misakein Tvila. So Ala Marava, so the Rava disagrees with his Chavrusa with Abaye. And he says, no, this was Takanas Ezra. Ezra tikin tefillah labari, amargel, amargel, memsa, v'as rabbanan v'itkin labari la'onso, tisha kabin. Good. So we arrive at the same place, it's just a question of how we arrive there. Ezra was misakin tefillah and only tefillah. Meaning this whole idea of tisha kabin, that's not Ezra. Ezra was misakin tefillah in the mikvah. It was then a later subsequent takana of if somebody's an ones, so then he can simply throw 9 gallons of water on himself and he'll learn Torah. The asam amarai v'kamiflagi b'chol amarsav v'chol amargel kabari amargel v'chol laonso kabari laonso umarsav labari amargel memsav v'chol amargel kabari laonso tishakabin aval v'chol laonso patmi klum. And then the debate is, that's all for a healthy person. And what for a sick person? Is he on the same level? Does he drop down a level? Machlokas. Amar Rava, Hilchas Abari Hamarga V'Chol Hamargel Arba Imsa Ubari Laonso Tisha Kaben Aval L'Chol Laonso Patam Miklum. So Rava says, now let's conclude. Now, Hedy, I'm going to caution you over here. Not right. This is not the bottom line, even though the Gemara says the word Hilchasa. I'm cautioning. He says that a healthy person who behaves in a way in which he's the cause of him becoming a Keri, and a chola hamargel, even if you're sick, but you behave in a way that causes a balkari, so they are 40 sa. You need to tov on the mikvah. Bari laonso, if you're a healthy person, but it's an ones, meaning it's not because of your behavior, it just simply happened, it was nocturnal, tisha kabin. Aval chola laonso, if you're sick and it's an ones, you don't need to tov on the, you don't need tovo, and you don't even need tisha kabin, you need simply nothing. You could just simply go ahead and learn Torah. Now, this sounds like from the Gemara that we arrived at a conclusion. Rashi cautions us and Rashi says, no. All Rav is doing over here is based on what we just learned in terms of what the Takana of Ezra was. He gives us a summary statement of what was a Takana and where do we go from there for an Ones and for a Chola. But in terms of the bottom line halacha, Rashi says, we're going to go back to the original statement of Rav Nachman Yitzchak. Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Rashi says, is a later Amora. And so therefore, he will be the bottom line. Although, Hedy, I'll give you something to think about in just a second. I know I'm running out of time or run out of time. All right, so let's do this. Let's stop here in the Gemara, but I will conclude with the following. Take a look at the Rambam. No, don't take a look. You don't have a Rambam in front of you. I'll read to you the Rambam. The Rambam in Perek Dalet of Hilchos Tefillah, The Rambam Perek Dalet Halacha Dalet. Kol Tameim Rochsin Yedem Bavad Ketahorim Mispal Malfa Pisha Efshar Lahem Litvo Velalos Mitumasan Ein Atvila Ma'akeves. Your tummy. Okay, so you wash your hands before you daven. Fine. Ukvar Bianush Ezra Tikin Shali Kara Bal Keri Bavad Divretora Ad Shiitbol Ubezin Shamdu Achre Kain Hitkinu Af Litvila. So the Rambam writes interesting. Ezra's Takana is that a person is not allowed to learn Torah when he's a Balkari. And then the Rambam writes that there was a subsequent Takana, not Ezra, but later on, that says that you can't daven if you're a Balkari. So it's interesting. In other words, the way the Rambam understands it, Ezra had nothing to do with davening. It was all about learning Torah. In other words, from Ezra's Takana itself, a Balkari can daven. He just can't learn Torah. And it's only a subsequent Beis Din who instituted tefillah that you can't daven if you're a Baal Keri. Shalei Yispal Baal Keri Belvada Chiyidbal. V'lo b'mnei tuma v'tar nagubah l'kedei shalei yutami nechachamim mitzuyin etzal neshosem ketar negolim. And the Rambam writes, what we saw in our Gemara, the reason why this was enacted is so that Tamid HaChachamim would not be too frequently with their wives. And then the Rambam goes on. Now this is Halacha Hey. Therefore, if you want to daven, you need to top on the mikvah. Even if you're still going to be tamei after you come up from the mikvah, we learned that today in the Gemara as well. This has nothing to do with tamei tahara. This is just simply a way to that Talmid Chachamim should not be with their wives too frequently. Interesting. This answers your question that you asked earlier. What happened to the Takana? So the Rambam writes, it wasn't the repeal of the Takana, it's just they never really took. In other words, we know in general that a Takana only will be affected if the majority of the Jewish people can handle it. And the Rambam's writing is that it just never took. And then one more halacha for the day in the Rambam. Halacha Vav. Minik Pasha Besfard of Shinar in Spain and in Shinar, I don't know, wherever that may be, She'in Baal Keri Mispalo Ashuhu Rochitz Kol Besar B'mayim Mishon Hikon Likras Elokecha Yisrael. That they would daven in the morning, but only after having gone to the mikvah. And that's only if there was actual Baal Keri that was caused. But if it was a nocturnal emission, and it was totally a la'onis, and it was a chola, so then there's not even a minag. So it's interesting. The Rambam says that there is a minag among certain Jews where they tovel in the mikvah before they daven. And presumably that's because even though Ezra's Takana did not take hold, but perhaps they're following the subsequent Takana that you can't daven until you tovel in the mikvah. Okay. Rabbi Chanan, Yemen HaKash, Amar Rav HaKash Baruch, Lizat, Nisol, Ficha, Chir, Bem Torah, Mitzvah, Shenem, Anach, Hafei, Tzaman, Tzikol, Yagdil, Torah, V'yadir.